I'm always amazed when I look back on my life which moments kind of come to the surface as the most important moments. Because when you're experiencing them, you don't really think that they're going to be a big deal until you look back and you're like, wow, that actually made a lasting impact. Now, as I look back on my kindergarten through 12th grade education down in Lakeville at the public school, one of the things that stuck with me as my favorite project was in kindergarten. And our wise teacher was trying to teach us a little bit about how things grow. So she gave us all these little Dixie cups, and we put some dirt in them, and then we put a bean seed in it, and we covered it over with a little bit of cellophane and poked some holes in it and put it on the windowsill. And sure enough, when we came back from the break, that little seed had sprouted some green stuff, and it began to grow with just a voracious, just started to kind of come out of that little Dixie cup, and I was amazed at what I, as a little kindergartner, was capable of doing. It made this lasting impression because I did so little, and yet something so cool and so big happened. But as we age, we realize that sometimes those things that are so easy aren't always so easy. And so as my mom began to take up gardening and put a beautiful raised bed in the back of our yard in Lakeville, and I wanted to help her garden because that was so cool what happened in the kindergarten room, I realized that it's a lot more complex, hence why farmers actually make a living out of this. It's very difficult to actually have a good green thumb and to make a garden actually work. And I remember my mom teaching me lessons of when we would go out to pick plants and I'd say, Mom, I want this one. I think this is cool. She goes, Nate, that can't go there. It can't go in direct sunlight. It's got to go in shade. I'm like, I don't get it. It's a seed. Like, you just put it in the ground and it grows. And my mom explained to me that you need certain conditions, right? You need the right soil, the right amount of light and heat, and of course, the right amount of water to make a specific plant grow. Well, in our gospel today, our Lord begins by giving us a little bit of agricultural imagery. And you may think to yourself, okay, Lord, you really want us to be good gardeners. That's great. Thank you for explaining what happens with the seed. Because first it goes into the ground, and then the blade comes, and then the ear, then the full grain, and then it's ripe for harvest. Let's just pause and marvel at what wisdom the Lord shared with us. Well, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? So if the Lord only has a limited amount of words to share with this world, and he chooses to share this, there may be a little bit deeper meaning than just teaching us how seeds and plants work. So I think what the Lord would want us to look at is, what is this an analogy for? And I would say it's an analogy for the growth of the human soul, which does need certain conditions. So we'll use those three most basic conditions that every plant needs, good soil, light and heat, and water, to start to open up what exactly does our soul need to grow. Now, on Wednesday of this past week, a man that I was working with who's doing marriage prep, and as we were going through marriage prep, he found out that he was never baptized. And he said, Father, I really want to be baptized for my wedding. And I go, well, you don't just get it. You got to kind of prepare for it. And so he started meeting with me for several weeks. And this past Wednesday, this 32-year-old man bent over the baptismal font. The water was poured and he became a bona fide Christian. And for this man, this was the very beginning of something sacred that was bestowed upon his soul. It was the beginning of his ascent in this growth of the spiritual organism that is given in baptism. And I was grateful to see so many people surrounding him, saying, I want to support this seedling that has been planted to grow and flourish. So let's dissect these three parts that all of us Christians have already received. So what is the soil for the soul to grow? I would say the soil is a healthy place to grow. Now, I learned this lesson when I was in seminary. And a couple weeks before our ordination, we had some time in between the end of classes and when we were going to be ordained. And it's usually that time that you get cold feet, even as you're preparing for the priesthood. And I remember talking to my spiritual director, like, did I make a mistake? Did I discern something wrong? Like, there's no take backs. Like, is this really what I'm supposed to do? And I was freaking out. And my spiritual director said, I want you to go back to a place where you felt like you were planted in the Lord. Go to a place where you had received graces in the past, whether that's a retreat center, a park, a particular church. Go and sit there and let the nutrients of the church begin to enrich you. So I found this place that I was quite fond of, Pachamon Terrace. It's out in St. Francis, Minnesota. You go out into the woods by yourself in a little hermitage. And so as I went there, the graces began to flow again, and the peace that I had lost began to reside in my heart. Now, this is true for all of us. We all have a sacred place of where we feel we have communion with God. This is indeed a place for a soul to grow. This is why we have at this church the beautiful Adoration Chapel, which from Monday until Friday is open 24 hours a day, so that all of us can find a place to be anchored and receive graces. It's also why we're increasing the open hours of St. Joseph Church from 6 a.m. until 4 p.m. Literally, it's open. You can just go in, sit, and pray, and find that place of rest and refuge. Now, there was a movie that was released. It was kind of a B-movie called The War Room, or War Room. It was a Christian movie. And in this movie, it begins by showing a family that's experiencing some dysfunction. It's a younger family with one child, and the wife is in charge of kind of doing a lot of the work in the area. She's a real estate agent. And she goes in to sell this woman's home, and as she's kind of looking around the house, she goes to the closet. And she opens the closet, and she sees all of these post-it notes and pieces of paper and holy cards plastered over the wall. And she's like, what is this? And this beautiful old black lady says, honey, this is my war room. This is where I go when the problems of this world have no solution. This is where I go to storm heaven and do battle for souls. And so, you know, the movie continues on and this family continues to experience dysfunction. And this young woman, this young mother, is at her wit's end on what to do with her marriage. And so she begins to establish her own war room in her closet, putting prayers and petitions there and going there in the tears in her closet and petitioning God for graces to bestow upon her family. And sure enough, as the movie has it, transformation begins to occur. All of us Christians need a place to have soil where we can grow and flourish. And if we notice that our soil is somehow rocky or filled with thorns or is pressed down and hard, it is times like that that we need to go to the penalty box and receive a little love from our gardener in heaven. Literally, to get those rocks picked out, those thorns cut down. This is what a gardener must do to ensure that the plant begins to have good health and continues to grow with success. This is what the Christian needs to do if it wants to flourish and grow. Confession is not an optional part of the Christian life. It's essential for the healthy soul. We also have that great gift of the Eucharist. Now, this is equivalent, if we're to continue to use the analogy, if you have a plant that's not growing very well, you put some Miracle-Gro on it. You get those little spikes that you put into it, and sure enough, it just gets that kick of nitrogen it needs to get over the hump. The Eucharist for us as Christians is that Miracle-Gro. And this is why we have daily Mass available to us, that if you're going through a difficult week and you're like, Lord, I don't know where you are, the church has a solution. Come and receive our Lord in the Eucharist and get that little jump start so that the seed does not wither and die. Now, the second one, which is not hard to meditate on a tropical, humid day like this, light and heat. A plant needs the right amount of light and heat. So for us Christians, what exactly would this light and heat look like? I would say it's the love of community, hospitality. Here's an example that you can all relate to. If you walk into a place, a restaurant, establishment, a church, a club, and as soon as you walk in, the person is just scowling, you'll say it was cold. It felt cold to go into that place. Versus if you go into a place and they're so happy to see you and it's like, welcome to this restaurant. Can I give you a seat at this table? Let me give you all of the wonderful dishes that we can provide for you. And you're like, man, I love this place. And you haven't even eaten any of the food yet. This is how our parish is to be. When people are out in the world and their stocks have been battered by the hardships and difficulties and the trials of life, and they come to this church to seek refuge, that healthy soul, it is our job to meet them with the warmth of community and to say, this is where you belong. Welcome. This weekend, I encourage you to please grab a bulletin because this entire weekend's bulletin is about the beauty of community life and how we are to respond to that. Now, in regards to this light and heat, I have heard some people refer to Delano as a bubble, and we need to get out of the bubble and experience life. Well, that's interesting, because when you're starting a garden and you want to start to germinate the seeds, they're very fragile. And so where do you put those seeds but into a greenhouse, a controlled environment? An environment where it can get enough strength so that when you put it out into the world, it doesn't wither and die. To say that living in a bubble is a bad thing, not universally. As we age, yes, we do have to realize that there is a world outside of Delano. There are people all over who are suffering in need of help, social rights issues that need attention. But when we are first growing as children of God, it is important that we have that greenhouse effect to get our roots deep. The third thing that I will mention is what the water would be for us Christians. It is grace. In John chapter 4, when Jesus is speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well, he says to her, "Woman, I have a water of which this world does not know, and it will come from within, and when you taste this water, you will never thirst again." And the woman says, "Give me this water always, that I may not thirst." This is the grace of a life of prayer. And it's also very fascinating how this grace works. Once again, an analogy or a story from my childhood. So when we were, my mother and I, going and looking at all the different plants you could buy, I saw one that I had never seen before that I thought was sweet because it looked really deadly. It was a cactus. And it had all of these thorns all over it. And I'm like, "Mom, I want this one. I want this one." She's like, "Okay." So she bought me this little cactus. So I am dutifully watching how my mom interacts with the plants in the house. And she's watering the ferns that she had all over the place. And so that's what I did to my cactus. I just watered it. Until eventually the cactus looked like a shriveled sponge and it was gross and died. And I couldn't understand what was going on with it until my mom illuminated me to the fact that cactuses don't need much water to live. This is the interesting part of this analogy. Every soul needs a different amount of prayer and union with God. It's how we were created. Some souls need more, some need less. And it's important for us to have that relationship with God to say, "Lord, what is it that I need? What is my prayer life supposed to look like that I can be healthy?" And then to respond as the divine gardener speaks to our heart of what we need. As I was watering the trees and my father was teaching me, we had this thing that we kind of just put into the ground and it directed water right into the roots. And he would tell me the size of the tree determines how much water the tree needs. And the same is true with the soul. The more your soul grows, the more prayer you will need, because the more graces you will need to nourish the roots that have grown. The last point I want to make isn't on one of those three of soil, lighter heat, or water, but it's that last part of the gospel that's really interesting. It says that when the mustard seed grows to full size, the birds of the air will find refuge in its branches. Okay, cool. Well, this is why we as Christians should actually care about growing our soul. Is our souls become a refuge for others? Here's how I know this to be true. If you're going through trials, hardships, and difficulties, the person that you call or want to talk with is not a shriveled up, self-centered person. It's someone who has a vast soul, a big soul, that connection with God. And we immediately call these prayer warriors and we ask, "Please help me in my time of need." They become a place of refuge for us. In the 1700s, there was a saint named St. John Vianney. And he had this amazing gift to be able to read souls in confession. And his name and his fame began to spread all over France. And people would wait 4 days in line to go to confession to him. Not bad, huh? 4 days in line. And John Vianney was in between his confession sessions and he was walking by and a person who was possessed by a demon ran up to him and said, "John Vianney, if there were 3 more of you in this world, my kingdom would have an end." Now, what was happening, right? Was the enemy was saying, if there were 3 more souls as powerful and big as you, Satan's kingdom would be thwarted. Wow. What happens to us when we go out into the world and we become places of refuge for people to come and dwell? We become what Christ prophesied. You will be the light of the world, and you will be salt of the earth that makes people thirst for holiness. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, this work of growing our souls does not come by accident. It comes by intentionality. Just like a good garden does not grow by accident. Lots of weeds grow by accident, but not a good garden with lots of produce. My brothers and sisters, we are invited Sunday after Sunday to grow our souls into something very beautiful for the Lord. And as we receive this little insert of Miracle-Gro, the Eucharist, into our life, let us indeed make sure that our plant has taken root and continues to flourish as the Lord, the good gardener, directs.